I tell you what, this is Happy New Year, right? Wow. Yay, amen, right? Yeah, Axel wears a shirt he borrowed from my notes this morning. He's got a shirt that ties right in. And if you stick to Scripture, it'll tie into everything, right? It always does. God is good. But we've entered a new year. We've entered a new opportunity, an opportunity for each and every one of us to have a new outlook on life. We talked about that last week, about this new outlook. And I know I'm excited for the new year, and it's kicking off strong already. Amen? A new year also means that we are entering into a new sermon series. And for those of you who love the book of Deuteronomy, like my bride does so much, she is excited that we have reached this point of a new beginning, where this morning we're going to be in a new year-long series in the book of John called Dear John. And not because somebody's wife has left their husband estranged away. It's not because of that, right? No farewell, good riddance note. But because we're going to go through the Gospel of John. And as David St. John always wants me to say, St. John, right? Not just John. He always says, he corrects me all the time in Bible study. I say, open up to the book of John. He says, that's St. John. I say, okay, I got you, buddy. He doesn't say anything when I'm in the book of Paul. He just falls flat on that one. But the Gospel of John is written by the one-time disciple of Christ who turned apostle, whose name is, you guessed it right, is on the title cover. It is John. To be a disciple means to be a student, and that's what John was. Therefore, John was a student of Christ. And to be an apostle means to be a church founder, one that was called by Christ, and John certainly was, to go forth to build his church, the body of Christ. Thus, John, when we talk about John, he was taught and sent forth. That's the important thing about understanding an apostle and a disciple. They're taught and actually literally sent forth, right? And Polycarp and Irenaeus, these are great early church fathers who knew John. They said that John was a student of Christ. He was an apostle of Christ. And we can know that John did a great works for Christ. Amen? And just after Jesus began his earthly ministry, John was one of the first group of fishermen, right, to drop his nets and to follow Christ, right? Could you imagine back in the first century, there's no video games to play. Kind of boring, right? No payphone booths, bless you. There are no, like, concerts out in the park to hang out. No food trucks, right, Gerald? Imagine that. Not running around food trucks. And all of a sudden, some dude comes up and says, hey, follow me. I'm done fishing, right? Drop them nets and roll. And that's what he did. John is one of that first groups that dropped their nets and followed after Christ. And John was evidentially, through evidence, present during much of Jesus' teachings. John was present at the crucifixion. He witnessed the very empty tomb. He witnessed the resurrection. And in the book of Dr. Luke tells us that John witnessed the ascension of Christ and that he was filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost with the rest of them. So we've got all this information about John. He was a follower of Christ, a student of Christ, an apostle of Christ at the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension. John is just in there. He's just this great understudy. They didn't have tablets and Chromebooks back in his day, right? You put it all down and say, let me look that up. I don't know. It was here. He had it here in his head and in his heart. He's following after Christ. He's watching. He's the living, breathing person that's before him, and it's just powerful stuff. So John is credited with writing 5 of the 27 New Testament books. He gets his self-titled book called, the Gospel of John. Then he has 3 letters that he wrote to churches in Asia Minor. It's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he has 1 apocalyptic letter, which everyone loves to read, everyone loves to teach on. It's the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, a letter that emphasizes Christ as sole heir to the kingdom of all creation. And as heir to God's kingdom, Christ is also the great judge with reward. He comes with reward for those that follow after him. The reward is eternal life for those that trust in him, the redemption of their soul from Adam to the new Adam. And he is also the great judge, the one who brings forth eternal condemnation to those that have rejected his mercy, not wanting to be redeemed from the curse of Adam. So he brings all that. John is like, he's got it going on. He's like bookends, right? He's got a hat and he's got a gospel and he's got an apocalyptic letter. He's got like everything in between. From John's gospel on Christ or his good news is what it should be rather than gospel, good news of Christ. It's better translated that way. From John's good news of Christ to his end times apocalyptic writing, the book of Revelation, John gives us a very powerful firsthand account of the lifetimes and works of the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? He's got the pedigree. He's got it down. He's the follower. He's the biographer. He writes it down. John gives us his firsthand account of all these things And in fact, in his first letter to the churches of Asia Minor, it's on the screen, 1 John 1, 1 through 4. We're not in the gospel or in his letter, his first letter to the churches in Asia Minor, writing to the brethren there, he wrote this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon." We've read this text many times here because it's so important, right? "That we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Amen. Amen? That's John. He says, you know, I was there. I want you to know you can know these things. I want you to know that. Asia Minor is clear over here, and Jerusalem's way over here. He writes him a letter, says, you can know. As much as I know, you know. God is all-knowing. He knows us, but we can know some things about him. John was using three of five human senses. He says, we, alluding to himself and the other followers of Christ, John says, we saw him, we heard him, and we touched him. That meant that they could physically see Christ. Christ, he wasn't some imaginary figure, right? They could see him. They knew what was going on. That meant that they could see him, that they could hear him. They could hear Christ with their own ears. They knew that he wasn't speechless, right? He had something to say that they could understand. He had a voice, and they could also feel Christ. They could touch, they could lay hands on him. They could physically understand that Christ was present. He's not a hologram of some sorts. He's here. He's not some dumb, false idol that somebody has fashioned by human hands, one that can't speak, one that can't hear, one that can't do. He said, we seen him, we heard him, and we touched him. He's real. He's as real as I can tell you, and that's the picture he's given us. He's not some image carved out of wood or stone or marble or gold. He's not fashioned by human hands. And in chapter 5 of that same letter, John says, in 1 John 5:13, that's on the screen, he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen? I write them so that you can know. I write you words of encouragement and understanding. Keep going. It's a tough world out there. They'll beat you down. They'll give you a hard time. They'll cut you off at intersections. They'll walk before you. They'll take the last loaf of bread when you're reaching for it. Amen? Now I said, don't worry about all that. You know, the bread of life is here. We got them, right? That you may know. And you know, I said, boom, shakalaka, right? If you know me, I boom. I'll give you that emoji all the time. Boom. That's me all the time. Boom, right? That's what I'm talking about. That's what John's saying. John's saying, I write this truth to you, this reality. I'm writing this manifestation of hope to you, this very hope that our fathers longed for, the very hope that the prophets spoke of, the very hope of King David. He says, I'm writing to you the very hope of Moses, the hope of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm writing to you about the fulfillment of hope, the very hope of Noah, Enosh, Seth, and the very hope of Adam and his wife. I write these things to you. I write this letter to you that you may have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of Jesus. Amen? That's what he's saying. I'm giving you the encouragement of the saints that went before. Oh, when the saints come marching in. He said, that's where you want to be. That's what that song is, right? We went through the door. We're going through the door of hope. We're going to run into the arms of Christ Jesus. People say, well, St. Peter's going to greet you. I don't want St. Peter. I'm going to Christ. You know, I mean, why are you throwing him in the middle? I don't even know middleman. You know, I'm going to Jesus, man. Peter done caused enough trouble down here. I learned from him. Don't talk to that Jack. After you greet Christ, then you can talk to Peter, okay? Because you'll have new ears and a new understanding, right? So why am I spending so much time on driving home the fact, the very point that the author of John's gospel is written by the one whom walked in the footsteps of Christ, witnessing signs and miracles? Why am I spending so much time pounding words, you know, into the air that we might grasp an undivided understanding? I want us to understand that the same John as the Bible wants us to understand, the same John that authored this gospel that we're going through, is the same John that walked with the other disciples and with the person of Jesus Christ. That's the importance of it. If you want to know about me, ask my bride. If you want to know about Christ, ask John. You know what I mean? And why is that so important? Because it's as John said, he says, I write these things that you may know. That's why it's so important. Sometimes we just read the text and we go over many things and we don't stop. We don't park the car and get out and walk around the scriptures, right? Like you would at a park. Like you get tired of driving, you get out of the car and you walk around, right? You got to get refocused, right? You're going to fall asleep at the wheel. But when we read the text, we got to do the same thing. We got to get out of the car. We got to walk around. Oh, I thought you hit that comma, right? You step on that comma. Oh, man, who put the period right there? Oh, a big hole, it's a hyphen. Should fall right through, right? That you may know, John wants us to know something, and that something is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, okay? And that through him, through Christ, we have the promise of life and life eternal. The very life eternal that Hope desired to have this morning and she has now. Now, as many of us know, right, and all of us should know, but as many of us do know, if we want to know the point of an author that they're trying to make when you're reading a book, right, we turn to the end of the book, right? And we read the conclusion. The conclusion often states the purpose of a book, right? We can kind of figure out what the direction is. And John's gospel is no different. And I want to flip now to the end of John's gospel, chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. They're on the screen. I want to read them before we go forward. You can read ahead of me if you want, because I'm thirsty. It's a breakfast Axel and I had yesterday, and you'll have to ask him about it to understand. Okay, it's on the screen this morning, and John writes at the end of his gospel, he says, and truly Jesus did many other signs, right? So there's a whole lot of stuff that Jesus did, right? He goes, but and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, okay? But these are written, the ones before chapter 20 and those that are forward, there's a few forward, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Amen? John says a lot of stuff that happened didn't even make it in the book, right? I got like nine. You ever do that? You go to log on to something, so you got 500 words to say something, or like 200 letters. Like, really? Okay, that is not very far. And you think, I can do that. And you start, nope, you're out of time. What? I'm out of already? John says, I couldn't get him in here. Ran out of space. You know, Bill Gates got me. He snuffed it up where I couldn't get it all in. And I say all that to say this. I lay all this foundation of works because I want to raise upward the very message of John. And that message is this. It's Dear John. You know, Dear John, that's the series, right? In other words, dear whoever is listening. Right? That's the way I want to see this series go. Dear whoever has an ear to hear today. Whoever's reading this, dear John, dear Jan, Sandra, you know, dear Daryl or Nina or Debbie or Julie, dear whoever, I write these things that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life eternal. That's the letter. That's literally the immediacy of John's gospel. That's the immediacy of it. John's gospel cries out to the reader. This is what it says, really, when you read it. Pay close attention. That's what it's crying. Pay a close attention to what I'm saying. Listen to me. Pay attention to what it says. This is a matter of life and death. That's the immediacy of John's message. It's as if he is saying, warning! It's as if John is saying, if you don't have time to read the whole Bible, and many of us haven't found time to do that, he's saying, at least read this. Read this. It's so important. And we're going to read it. It might take us 2 years. I said our year-long study. That could be plural. I don't know. We'll see. Let's turn to John 1, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and they'll be on the screen this morning. Beautiful section of scripture here. And John begins his gospel, this good news of Christ with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Whew. That's a lot in four verses, right? I told you, he didn't have a lot of room, right? He was limited. He wanted to say more. He said, 500 words, you're done. You can't put any more in. Powerful. Words, you know, at the very beginning of his gospel in just a few short verses, we being searchers of truth, and that's what we are, that's what brought Hope up here this morning, searchers of truth, that's why we're here. We're already faced with this necessity of determining a couple things. We've parked our car and we've got out and we're walking around verses 1 through 4. First is this, where is the beginning John is talking about? In the beginning. Okay, where's that? Like, I would like to start there. Like, like if it's a new start, a new outlook on 2025, right? I want to know. We need to know, where is this beginning? Where is it at? And number two, who is the Word? As we walk around, you know, picking daisies, we're kicking the can. Who is this Word that John is talking about? And, well, I'm going to cut right to the chase and unveil that I pray you already know, and that is that the Word is the person of Jesus Christ. I could labor this, you know, for weeks, and Pastor Joshua could too, but we trust and know that most of you have come to understand that by now, and rather than me just try to spend a lot of time on it, I'm just going to let John tell you what he knows, right? And then we're going to get back on the section of Scripture that we're reading, but I want to advance forward to verse 14 real quick, and I want to tell you exactly what John has to say, 13 verses from the beginning, and I'll be doing that in about 3 weeks from now, and he says this, it's on the screen, and the Word, right, in the beginning was the Word, right? He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Don't got to look too hard to figure out who the Word is. I would hope that we got that understood. The Word became, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word has been revealed through childbearing. We just talked about that, like, what, a few weeks ago? We were in the whole Christmas series, right? The Word tabernacled among us. The Word was a living being, and we beheld his glory. We saw the glory of God, the glory of God's only begotten Son, begotten of the Father. Pretty simple stuff. We're fresh off the heels of our Christmas series celebration. We know this, witnessing the birth of Christ, God's only Son of the Father, of whom is the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium, God's promise of a seed to come, a seed from the woman, and you can read about it in Luke chapter 3, the genealogy of Christ from his birth all the way back to Adam and Eve. But Jesus Christ is the begotten Son of the Father. He is the, as John notes in 1 and 14, he is the Word that became flesh. He is the Word that became flesh. And the Word became flesh. I just think that in your mind as you're parked there. And the Word became flesh. In Matthew 4, Jesus was alone in the wilderness for like 40 days. You're all familiar with that. And during this time, he was tempted by the devil. And at one point, Jesus being in hunger, the devil tempted Jesus, saying, he says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, you know, to take care of that. You know, they didn't have Snickers then, right? So, I mean, you had to work with what you had. He said, command these stones to become bread for you. And Jesus, he responds, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, which we were just there for a year, right? Quoting from the book of God's laws, Jesus says, right to the devil, and it was great. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. But by what? Every word. Uh-oh, there's that word. But man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. And I want to say it again. Jesus responds to the devil saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread is capable of providing temporary life to the flesh, right? To the physical body, we have to eat to nourish it, to give it fuel. The physical body just demands so much of us. You know, it says, I'm hungry, I'm tired, and whatever it wants to do, it does, right? And when you get older, certain parts don't work the way they're supposed to, right? You're falling apart alongside of the road, you know? Like cars, you see a muffler, and you see a tire, and a hubcap, and in life, you see a shoe, and a cane, and all this stuff down the road. You say, well, I know somebody's been injured here. And then you see an attorney coming. You been in an accident? No. You always got one of them coming, right? Bread gives temporary life to the physical body. The human body is condemned to death on account of sin. And so we just break down. The human body is corrupt. Bread is a sustenance that delays our date with the grave. If we eat, we shall live. But if we starve ourselves to death, we shall die. And what was the rest of what Jesus said? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I like that because take that word, word, which is hard to say a sentence when you say, take the word, word, for example. It's like trying to say, can you end a sentence in the word the? Most people say you can't, but I just did, you know? And that's really weird when that happens, right? Now, no one's going to be paying attention to the sermon for us today, so just make sure you listen to it tonight when you get home. But all of God's words are unto life. All of God's words, everything that God has written in this text, everything that God has ever spoken, and everything that he will manifest through revelation, through prophecy, will be unto life. God's God's law was even clear. A lot of people look at the law as a means of death, but the whole do this and you shall live and don't do this and you shall live were created to bring life. God designed the whole law system to bring life to humanity. It was to establish this as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God's words are life. God said, let there be light, and there was. God said, let there be fish in the sea and birds in the air, and there was. And God said, let us make man in our image, and he did. God's word is life. God said, do not eat the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And even when this word, right, when this word that he had spoken was unto life, because it was, he said, don't eat of it, because when you do, you shall surely die. He spoke life when he said it, though. Do not do it. That was words of life. They weren't words of death. Adam and Eve accepted and received him as death because they rejected God's word, but they were words of life. He said, do not eat of that tree. Even these were spoken of life. God said it, and we got to do it, right? All of God's words are life, even his words of restitution that are given in the law. Like if you shall break this law, do this sin, you have to pay so much money or you have to do something. Those were to retain life, to make you right with God, to make you right in fellowship with the people around you. All of God's words are unto life. And what does John say at the onset of his gospel, right? He says in verse 1 and in verse 14, they're both on the screen, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? The Word became flesh, the life-giving power of God's Word was born among us some 4,000 years ago. The word is life. Every word God speaks. And it was born some 2,000 years ago among us. God's life-providing word became a living being in the person of Jesus Christ. The power of the law, the word of the law, became a living example of God's goodness. Jesus became a person to be our example on earth to show us how to live rightly, to live out that spoken word, the rhema word, the logos word, to be the living adjective and action before, so he could show us the way, the truth, and the life that comes through him. That's why Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, that's why he could say unto the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, because that's only sustenance to the body, but by every word. Every word is unto life. Every word that proceeds from God's mouth. In other words, Jesus was saying this, bread cannot provide eternal life. It cannot undo, check this out, what Adam did. Can't undo that, right? Ain't gonna make that happen, right? But if you eat of my body, which is broken for you, if you go where I go, if you do what I do, you will have eternal life. Life that bread cannot provide. John is telling us that Jesus, that through his birth, he became a living being, breathing air. He became that very spoken word, the word of God. And we sing here at Wonder Ministries a song that was released by Casting Crowns. It's a song titled Glorious Day that Axel likes so much. And the words for that song, I put like the first verse part of it on there. And the opening words, they sum up precisely really verse 1 of John's gospel. And it goes like this. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, it always was filled with praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, somewhere between sin and joy and praise, right? Jesus came forth to be born a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. That's the word right there. The word, when we say the word, when John says the word became flesh, he said the spoken life of God that has given us every dictate in the Bible to show us how to live rightly with one another and right with him, to join him in heaven above. John is saying the word, the person of Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the only way the Father is through me. He said that he took on flesh. He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ among us. Amen. And I couldn't say any better myself, right? Jesus came forth to be born a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. I think about that song is so powerful, so theologically correct. It's so perfect. I write these things that you may know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then one day, several thousand years ago, Jesus, despite being royalty, he stepped down from the heavenlies to be born of a virgin, the son of Mary and Joseph. He dwelt among men. He tabernacled with humanity. Our example, he became. The word became flesh and the light shined among us. His glory revealed, amen? Amen. Warning! Yeah. I write these things that you may know. That's what John's saying. If you don't have time for anything else, read this. That's like when you open a package too, right? Like we're busy. Manuals like that thick, it's on top. Guys are like, yeah, ain't gonna happen. And they throw it away, right? But on the front of that, it says, wait, stop. If you carelessly want to throw this away and not read it, guys, because you will, at least read this one paragraph, okay? And this is what John's saying. At least read this. If nothing else, read this. Write these things that you may know. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen?